Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Louise Hulk as we talk about her work as a time traveling clairvoyant. We'll do that when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Louise, this higher self communication, this ability to reach down from within, do you train people for that too?
Yes. I was working with some apprentice alumni to get in gear for an upcoming online series I'm going to be teaching about on intuition, the Intuition Advancement Series. And I would put them in different breakout rooms and communicating with the higher selves of each other. It could have been a relative, not of each other, but for each other. And they were bringing in amazing messages, whether the loved one was in or out of the body. But you first have to go to a higher place, of that higher place of your consciousness, so that you're not imposing your will on another. But occasionally, what you'll see, well, more than occasionally, you'll see the effects of telepathizing with another, seeking higher resolution. When you bump into that person, I call it trickle-down higher consciousness. It could come out as a whisper. They'll say something that is so relevant. And you might even say, do you know what you just said? And they won't know. It just kind of came through them. In my first book, Beyond Boundaries, I mentioned meeting a fellow in London. And I knew he'd been my jailer in another lifetime when I'd been kept against my will. Hmm. And I got that double exposure when I went through the Tower of London. And I could feel I could hear the crunch of men's boots on footsteps on either side of me. It makes me a little dizzy sometimes when two time periods merge or I'm experiencing two time periods simultaneously. So the next day, after watching the changing of the guard, no one said that it took 3 hours, and I was famished. And I'm walking across the street, and a fellow's leaning on a lamppost, and he says, can I help you? And I asked him to direct me to Harrods, and he offered to walk me. And I knew he'd been my jailer, and the universe plays with metaphors, and is such a hoot, and this fellow is literally a light technician, David the light technician. So we had a brew and we chatted, and I didn't tell him what I did. And afterwards, we went out onto the sidewalk. He went one way, I went the other. He gets to the end of the block. He turns and says, see you in another 200, and marches on.
How about that?
And if I'd stopped him, I would bet that he didn't know what he said.
I love that.
Yeah, trickle down higher consciousness.
Go to calls in a second, but let me ask you a little bit about the Mayan calendar date. December 21st, 2012, you've got your own thoughts about this.
Yeah, I personally believe that the Mayans ran out of stone. And I think it is signaling a shift, and it's up to many interpretations. I think the shift in consciousness, I'm observing it daily with my apprentices, with clients, how consciousness is expanding, and that the universe is becoming all the more responsive. Synchronicities are increasing. People are expanding and observing that there is a bigger picture unfolding. So I think that the shift is already unfolding. And where I was talking earlier about finding like vibrations and then training others onto a higher frequency, my spin on this shift is that in the way that like attracts like, in the dark, it is getting darker, the light's getting brighter. Mm-hmm. Higher frequencies may kind of cluster together and could even create a separate reality. We might, where I said sometimes I'm in certain locations and I'm absolutely invisible. People walk right by me. They could almost walk right through me. We're simply on different frequencies. So maybe our realities are going to become dissimilar. Maybe realities are going to match up higher frequencies and other realities lower frequencies. That would be another explanation for what some religions have defined as heaven and hell.
And
we certainly are susceptible to each other's vibrations, and which of course is why it's always important to surround yourself with light. I have the hardest time remembering to do it on public transportation because I'm intentionally relaxing, going into neutral to relax for the ride. And more than once, I've tuned in to someone across a subway car. A friend was visiting and was sitting on a bench on the subway next to me, and she saw me look across the car to a kid from the hood with his buddies. And I sensed that he was an artist, and I telepathized to him, trust your art, not your friends. You'll go far. He turns and looks all the way across the subway car and does a thumbs up. And I turned to my friend and I said, you're a witness. You saw that happen. So we all have that capacity. And the universe, as I say, it's speeding up. And so it's all the more responsive of all the more synchronicities. You know, just when people just open up to the concept of synchronicities, seemingly psychic timing of events, it changes their lives. Because it's saying there's something else going on here. There's more than meets the eye. But you want to ground the wire and be grounded dealing with your stuff. And sometimes people go too far the other way, seeing meaning in everything. But they are fun. And it really is saying that the universe is doing a dance with you.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. We'll go to Denver, Colorado, first-time caller. Kelsey's with us. Hi, Kelsey. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is extremely bizarre. To be talking with both of you. I have learned how to allow my depressions to come through and process and then leave with this little, I guess, quote unquote, damage. Some people call it bipolar too.
Hmm.
And I have learned how to live with it, but also to reduce its impact and reduce it showing up quite often. So I just recently had one. I hadn't had a depression for a very long time. And I was feeling the intensity of the difficulty of my mother and her emotionally abusive tendencies towards us, my father and my sisters. And I was lying on the floor and I just kept asking, what do I need to do? What should I do? And my grandfather, her father, has passed, and I did feel his presence. And so I asked him, can you help me? Because I feel that my mom, I feel sometimes she's my enemy, so to speak. And I try to deal with her on a compassionate heart, human-to-human level. But in desperation, I asked him, could you help me? With my mother, with your daughter. And I did feel calm, and I got up off the floor, and I started to move around, and I am blind, so when I went over to my disorganized CD set, I pulled out a CD that was his one and only CD, Johnny Cash's Greatest Hits. And right when I put that in there, I turned around, and I knew that he was standing right in front of me. And I would like to, I feel he I need to help him. He's shown up in my dreams a couple times. And how do I help him? And how do I hear him more so than I am?
Kelsey, I think you're a wonderful example of people becoming highly intuitive, multisensory, multidimensional. And maybe with the rearrangement of your senses, with the loss of sight, and also with the neurological challenges, I find that so many are highly, highly intuitive who have to deal with the ADD and bipolar and so on. And I think you're doing a wonderful job working with it. But what a beautiful example of you being on that frequency where you connected with your grandfather. And I think you have all the right intentions with your mother. And you don't need to go where it doesn't feel right to go either. You don't need to save everybody. But your intentions definitely would have an entraining effect on your mother. Is your mother in or out of the body at this point?
She's alive. She's with us.
Yeah, and you can do the same. You can do go into a meditation. I think there's one on my website that I used to sell on a funky cassette tape, Visualized Meditation Adventure. I think you can download it now on the website. And I guide you to your garden, and you're sitting on a white bench. You invite someone into your garden. It can be someone at work, a coworker, someone who's passed over. You go to envision that ball of light above your head, connecting with the higher self, the ball of light above that person's head, not to impose your will or control things, but have this telepathic chat and say, well, this is an interesting adventure. You might do this with your mother. So why have we come back what dance are we doing? What have we come here to do? And let's lift things up so that we can accomplish this. I love the expression that if you wonder if you've done what you've come here to do, if you're still here, you haven't. I guess it's pretty rhetorical, but I think you're just really, really on target with your intentions and how beautifully synchronized. You were absolutely in alignment when you created the conduit with your open heart, and your grandfather came right in, and then bada bing, bada bang, and you went to the CD. And so you're doing it, girl. You really, really are. You'd make a wonderful apprentice.
Louise, what do you think of earthbound souls? How come they don't move on?
Well, they're stuck. I think it's a bit like Groundhog Day. It's not a happy place to be. And my forte isn't ghost busting, but I suggest a method that's extremely grounded. It all has to do with the degree to which you're holding your space. And so those who are on drugs and aren't all present, all here, there's space for unwanted energies to come in. The more you're holding your space, the more, no one can interfere. I was on the phone with a soon-to-be ex-husband years ago, and I felt myself starting to go into fear, and I said, just a sec, and I put the phone at arm's length, and I did a gesture like a karate move, and I made the sound in my head, and it shifted my energy, and suddenly I was front and center, ready for action, holding my space, occupying my space in the universe. When you have that demeanor, there's no room for unwanted energies. So when people report ghosts and earthbound souls, I had an apprentice in Australia, and their kids would wake up screaming in the night, and everyone was feeling this presence. And they had psychics come and light candles and smudge and all of this. And I said, well, you can light candles or, create whatever kind of ceremony you want. But the important thing is to know that it's not bigger than you. And all you need is your connection to a higher power and you occupying your space fully. So you can form a circle and imagine this soul in the center. And no funny business, just telepathize. You don't belong here. You need to go to the light. When we tell you to go, there'll be loved ones to greet you. Go now. But feel yourself expanded, not contracted in fear, but expanded, occupying your space in the universe. And it does the trick. With ETs, I remember reading a gal, and I felt this very strange kind of mercurial energy next to her. And I said, have you been abducted? And she said, all my life. And I said, do you choose this adventure? She said, no. And so I telepathized to this energy, well, this is an interesting adventure, but it's up to her, and she does not choose this, and there is no power more powerful than her connection to the source. So go now. And it's gone, and she hasn't had a problem since. I think, as with us, there are higher and lower vibrations in this dimension. I think it's the same thing. I don't call them ETs. I call them HIs, higher intelligentsia, at least the ones that I would connect with.
Exactly. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Mark is with us in Hollywood, Florida. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hi, George. It's always a great show. My father had passed away March the 15th of last year. And my wife told me, because I didn't see this, but she did, that about 2 days after I had informed her he had passed, she said she had seen a very unusual cat that was totally milk white. And then after she saw her, then it disappeared. And I wonder if my father is trying to still reach out to me, because sometimes, I don't know, of late, it seems like I've been thinking about him a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think there can be these sometimes they call it gifts. I call it gifts between dimensions, where they give me sneak previews of signals they'll be sending, mm-hmm. or it could be a certain kind of flower that's going to just pop into your life, and so I call those sneak previews of cosmic winks. And again, when you look at my gift to the listening audience, the 8 ways to connect with a loved one, it's opening your heart. It's different ways to bring them in on that frequency. I kind of prefer the more grounded approach, and I know they can project energy in different ways. I think it's on a higher vibration, this kind of communication that Kelsey mentioned with her grandfather. where it's real, it's healthy, and you have to ask yourself if any of this paranormal stuff or new agey stuff, if it's life enhancing, life expanding, because sometimes people are extending outside themselves for the magic, and they'll get the magic when they're present and dealing with their stuff, and then they're really in concert with the universe. So yes, that most likely was your father. And you can open up that channel and get some wonderful communication going, but take it like a feather across a cheek, you know, not too obsessed about it, but let it come in its own way. You can, I mentioned in that list that when you go to bed, let your heart be open, and let your last thoughts before sleep be thoughts of gratitude. The heart is the frequency that creates that conduit that lets them come through more clearly. And again, when I bring them in readings, the first thing they project is when and where you had a thought about them that dialed them in. You made an association, or you felt them in your heart. Sometimes they get obsessive, and they'll be pantomiming, you know, I know you were in the kitchen looking at my picture. Your elbow was by the bowl of tangerines. I say, okay, we get it. But they love to really specify what you were doing and where you were when you dialed them in. And it's really that simple. Again, it's streaming consciousness.
When you train people, what are you training them for?
To get out of the way, to get them out of their heads and out of their intellectual left brains and into their intuitive, creative right brains. There's a picture on my website of, I call it Tinkerbell, and it's on a media gallery. And the first row of photos, there's a picture of an elemental. And a friend took it years ago, and she's one who has eyes to see. She has a sense of wonder about life. She's a very positive person, and she saw this elemental on a poppy across her living room. And it's a beautiful, the composition itself is beautiful, and you can see the rainbow reflection of its wings and sort of a vapor trail from where it's been. I looked at it, and I said, this is a freaking Tinkerbell, not knowing that this was my friend's nickname when she was growing up, how it all fits together. And it's sort of my Rorschach test. I was showing it at a workshop in London, and a very left-brain analytical fellow looks at it, and he says, oh, yes, that's the light refracting, and ruff, 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 ruff. And so his left brain was trying to understand what he was seeing in this picture, and it's like a Mac and a PC, never the twain shall meet. The left brain just can't wrap around this kind of perception. So then I said, now look at the picture through your little boy self's eyes. And I can almost hear a click when someone shifts from their left brain to their right brain. And suddenly he says, oh. So suddenly he sees it. He went from his analytical, intellectual brain to his creative, playful, imaginative brain, and then he saw it. So it appeared on film for the gal who lives in that consciousness.
I like that. Stay with us. We're going to come back with some final phone calls for you, Louise, right here on Coast to Coast AM. All right, next hour, we'll have open lines. That's when we begin, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come back in a moment with Louise Hauk, as we talk about the time-traveling clairvoyant, we'll take your final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Louise Hauk, and with your final phone calls. Louise, let's talk a little bit about your belief system and life beyond our planet. What do you think?
Oh, gosh, I think it's incredibly arrogant to think that we're it, or that we know that we are the most superior intelligence. I think there's so much out there. And I think there is going to be, as consciousness is opening up, I don't know about visitations, but I think we're going to be matching their frequency of higher intelligence. So we're rising up. And so I think, yes, it's all out there, definitely. And I think there are going to be some amazing discoveries. And science, physics, new physics, is definitely meeting metaphysics. That's really exciting. I was just... thinking about the concept, I think it's called quantum entanglement, which is two particles that remain intimately connected even when they're separated over vast distances or when they cease to exist. Cease to exist, just not in the physical, and that's what happens with our energy. this continuum of consciousness, I think it's going to extend further and further out there. And my favorite example of this continuum of consciousness, a client in London, he was a meditator, very much in tune. And his wife, I was interpreting for his wife, and she was saying, I know you felt me in the car wash beside you the other day. And then she said, about that conversation we were having before we were so rudely interrupted by my death. Don't you love it? I think that's the best example of this continuum of consciousness. So as we raise our vibration and come to higher frequencies, I think they will be matched with higher intelligence. I think I have been reached, and occasionally when I read a client, I see like a spotlight on them, and I interpret that they're being beamed. And sure enough, 9 out of 10 times they have set forth their intention that they want this kind of connection, this kind of communication. They're open to it. They're higher minded. It's not seeking drama and all the lower vibrations, but this higher intelligentsia. And
you have a good outlook on life. You can tell.
Well, I just get so many cosmic giggles. It's hard to know which came first, but it just makes good things happen. The happier a person you can be, and I don't mean in a false way. I think there's a tremendous deep happiness that comes when people are dealing with their challenges, and you gain an insight, and it shifts everything. So we're constantly able to shift our reality. You ask yourself, what does this remind me of? Why did this set me off? What got triggered here? Oh my gosh, this is what it felt like when my father would be dismissive of me, and that's what my boss does. And so you see these repeating themes, and you come up with some conclusions, you get an insight, and you get a shift. And so I often say that there's a fine line between self-realization and self-absorption. And after moving from California through Colorado to New York, I said to myself, it seems by contrast that Californians haven't integrated their dark side and New Yorkers wear it on their sleeve. And I think there's definitely a balance in dealing with your challenges, getting the lesson, rising up. And I think it gives you a positive attitude when you see the results of doing the work, as opposed to reaching out there for magic. And also just really asking for demonstrations daily. By the end of the day, I want a demonstration about relationship. I want a demonstration about my next job. And then let go of it. You've got to let go of it. Let it out there and let it out in the air.
Let it happen. Let it
absolutely
happen by itself.
But stay in alignment. Notice what takes you out of alignment. Fear, the ego self.
That's right.
What gets you back into alignment is going to the feeling of gratitude, appreciation, opening your heart. Then you get the phone call, the parking place, you're back in sync.
Let's go to Heidi in Aurora, Colorado on the wild card line. Heidi, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a couple of questions, actually, that have kind of changed. Number one, I would love to know if you can tell me anything specific to me that would be helpful that you pick up on. Also, I've got 3 granddaughters, ages 6, and then twins that are getting ready to be 5. And I'm wondering how I can encourage their growth within them in this area to develop, you know, these things within them.
Well, I'm not doing readings tonight, but sometimes I get tapped. And when you mentioned your granddaughters, I got the higher self of one of your granddaughters raising her hand. Now, one's higher self looks the same to me as one who's passed over. Sometimes a non-physical soul looks a little more translucent. But what does that say if it's all the same, one's higher self and one who's passed over? It's all the same. I think that just says volumes. But I got the higher self of one of the granddaughters pointing to something blue. I don't know if there's blue in her bedroom. Sometimes that means blue eyes, tends to wear a lot of blue. And pointing to her head, indicating a soul coming in remembering. And these are souls who I often interpret to their parents before they're born. And when they point to their heads, that's code. Before they're born, pointing to their etheric heads, that's code for, I'm going to be a soul returning, remembering. My knee-jerk response to them is, prove it. And then they transmit a list of things that will be occurring after their birth. On that same gallery, on the media page of my website, the same row where you'll see Tinkerbell, there's a row of, there's three different children that I'm holding up, and their children I interpreted to their parents before they were born. And Connor was the most remarkable. And so he's saying, after I'm born, he gave us a list of these things. And when, and I forgot about it, but when he was 2 months old, lying in the crib, his mother emails and said, three of those things happened in the same day. And it had to do with an ice cream truck going by, a crib mobile off balance, and a dog hitting its head. The dog had sneezed so hard that morning he hit his head on the floor. And Connor's in the crib just laughing. And so these souls, before they're born, they often say, and after I'm born, when you see me laugh, know that it's not gas. So I'm getting the higher self of one of your grandchildren, and then the splash of blue raising her hand like, I'm one of those. So this, these are children that will say things such as, when I was your mommy, I used to drive you down this street. It kind of comes out, like I said earlier, they might not even know they're saying it. It sort of wears off after 3-4 years old, or four years and up, because then they're here to be more this self. The soul, as we incarnate, it's we're particles, and we can be a lesser or greater or lesser concentration of a particular soul particle, soul's particles. And that's why 300 people can be convinced that they carry an aspect of Cleopatra, an aspect of a soul energy. And so when I see that one's grandmother is going to be back as my client's grandchild, I say, it's likely that that there's going to be this granddaughter who carries an aspect of your grandmother. And then I turn to the grandmother and I say, so what do you hope to accomplish in that configuration? A great example of how consciousness is so vast and non-local. I was reading a gal when I lived in Boulder, and she's nursing her baby at the time. And I pointed to the baby and I said, this child carries an aspect of your grandfather. And then I get like a holographic image of the grandfather standing behind the couch. And the grandfather points to my client and talks about a road trip they had taken through the desert. It was a remarkable trip, my client confirmed. And then the grandfather points to the baby and talks about what he hopes to accomplish in that body. And so this is timeless consciousness, and we get embodied in a greater or lesser concentration of that soul's particles. But I just got that one of your granddaughters raising her hand saying, I'm one of those children. So she may say things that she couldn't have known, just comes in knowing things, asking a lot of questions, wanting to get to the bottom of things. It's pretty amazing. Some call them indigo children. I prefer not to label them. I think it's just part of what's happening with consciousness.
Okay, great. Let's go next to Dawn in Logan, Utah. On the west
Thanks
of the Rockies.
Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome, Don.
I'd like to ask Louise about music linked with departed souls. In this case, a border collie. On December 10th, I lost my dog. On December 12th, Frank Sinatra's birthday, George Norrie played a song called Softly I Will Leave You, and I woke up listening to that. And a week later, and it described the relationship to my dog and me perfectly. A week later, I was getting ready to go to church, and I was motivated to turn on the radio, and there was Donny Osmond saying, this is not a puppy love. What do you say about that?
And Don, just so you know, at the end of the show tonight, or close to it, we're playing that Frank Sinatra song again, believe
don't
it
you love it.
Love all of you.
Well, I would say you're in alignment. Haven't you wondered how, when if you decide you're going to buy a Nissan car, then that's all you see on the highway? It's my perception.
Right.
It's my perception that you're facing that slice of infinity that includes Nissan cars.
And well, I've been sitting coast to coast, and I think the staff and the guests are the best on earth, and I want to thank all of you. All of you. You're great.
Well, you're certainly in tune.
I'll never miss a show if I can help.
It sounds like you're really on their frequency, too.
Well, that's important. What do you think of miracles, Louise? They're real?
Oh, absolutely. As I was saying earlier, I think when there exists absolutely no perception of separation between you and a higher power, or you and higher intelligence, you and the source, the force, when there's no inkling, no perception, no space between you and that God self, you're in alignment, you get miracles. So I think if a healer can facilitate shifting your consciousness so that the healing can come through in a moment of tremendous gratitude, again, when you're totally out of the way, that divine energy can come through and heal. It can be explained really quite simply. And sure we just can. Get in the way.
Yeah, we do. Michelle is in Austin, Texas, first-time caller. Go ahead, Michelle. Good morning.
Good morning. You may have actually just answered my question. I woke from a solid sleep with the radio on, and I had 5 to 7 incidences of synchronicity that made me call you with my question.
Isn't that great?
All my life, I've been a clairvoyant, and I have a couple of individuals around me lately who are they're very controlling in negative ways, and I've been very open to seeing how they're damaging the people around us, and I now see how they're kind of working on me too, and I kind of try to shut down to reacting to that and open up in a positive way to those that they're also hurting, but I'm having a problem controlling my own anger.
Yeah.
I have at what I'm seeing, and it makes me want to get out of the situation because it makes me feel negative. But
yeah.
I'm seeing how maybe I could step up and maybe do something positive to help the situation until something forces me to leave.
Absolutely. And psychic boundaries are extremely important. I mentioned how I sometimes, my wall comes, I remember not everyone is old enough to know the old Pepsodent or Palmolive commercial, I'm protected by this invisible shield. And that's what I envision around myself when I remember, especially on public transportation. Unfortunately, a lot of very intuitive people are empaths and they feel others' pain. And that when I work with apprentices, I really try to get them to pull out of it. They're often very heartful people that really want to heal others, and it doesn't help you have no right to take away another's pain. You can support another with your faith in their ability to heal. If you watch a group that has been meeting, say a support group, and I know it's a gross generalization, but if someone starts to emote, starts to cry, sometimes the first person who runs over with the Kleenex is one who hasn't dealt with their own pain. And those who've dealt with their pain, embraced it, processed it so it can move, then emotion can move, then it doesn't stagnate and become tumors. People who've processed their emotion, it's deepened them, and they have respect for what others have to go through and can support them in finding their answers rather than rushing in and trying to save someone. So that's something to stay mindful of, your psychic boundaries. And then, you know, go to your garden and invite the higher self of these people into the garden and just say, and lift the vibration and say,
That's very interesting what you just said about the garden, because I am a remote Reiki healer. I'm clairvoyant. I connect to God every day through prayer. I've lost a lot of people in my life, and I have a commemoration garden, and that's where I do my connecting to people who have asked me to pray for them. And I go out there barefoot so I can feel the earth.
Lovely.
And I connect to God through that experience. And you say the people who run over with the Kleenex are the ones who haven't dealt with their own pain.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I had got word that somebody in my past had passed away, and this individual was, they were profound in my life at the time, and I lost connection with them over the years, and I have been working every day to heal the grief of that, but I feel that you have hit the nail right on the head with the hammer. Maybe that situation is interfering with my normal activities. Normally, if I see a lot of what I just told you going on, I can step up and rise above it and really do something positive. But this time I couldn't, and I couldn't quite figure it out. So
yeah.
I'm so glad to have called you. I'm going to listen to this show on the internet later.
I think you can help others the most by making your life as joyful as possible. And that will lift others rather than I know it's a really deep, sincere feeling a lot of psychics, a lot of very intuitive people have, that they're here as healers, light workers to help others. But we don't want to be bleeding hearts, and we don't want to bleed hearts, you know, bleed into others' hearts. You need to be respectful of others' pain and support them in finding their own answers. You can do that telepathically. And those who believe they're loved by being needed will attract needy people.
Well, there's no doubt. Would you give out your website again, Louise, and tell us about these courses that you offer.
Okay. It's www.louisehauck, LOUISEHAUCK. I'm starting the Intuition Advancement Series, an online course, next month. I've worked with my buddies in New Delhi. I know them all by name. Tech
That's
support.
Great.
So it's Adobe Connect. It's wonderful functionality. And I'll be able to take people through the exercises I do with apprentices when people have been invited to be apprentices, clients, and they haven't been able to commit to that. This is a more affordable way to go through the exercises, so that's going to be really fun. And I've started having Saturday drop-ins once a month. The next one, will be in July, maybe August, where for a nominal donation, you can come on. I do 8 at a time. You can ask your question. And I answer the questions in a way that's instructive to the group, the group of 8.
Well, it sounds exciting, Louise. It really does. Thank you, and good luck with all your work. She's a time-traveling clairvoyant. I shall be back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.